This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thank you for staying with us. It is 7:36 in the morning. I'm with Wong Xiaoning and Shazana Mokzun. Of course, my name is Ku Su Chuang. Quite alarmingly, suicide cases, and perhaps not surprisingly as well. And what's chilling is the fact that teenagers are on that list. Now, according to statistics from the COPS, 800 of the 1,700 cases recorded since 2019 involved teens.
That's right. Here are some sobering numbers for you. There were just over 600 suicides in 2019, and that increased to 631 in 2020. But for the first 5 months of 2021 alone, there have been 468 cases. So just in the first 5 months, we're, you know, halfway through what the previous records were.
Yeah, I think that's also reflected in the number of calls to any form of a helpline, right, when it comes to mental health. But besides teens, experts think that we need to be on the lookout now for younger children, because some of them as young as 6 years old have shown an awareness of taking their own life, which they threaten to do to put pressure on their parents to get what they want. Now, of course, the health pandemic and the lockdowns that come with it have not helped the situation, with many family relations strained from being cooped up at home. So what kind of behavioral warning signs, should we be taking note of when it comes to our children?
Well, to help us answer these and other questions is consultant psychologist Dr. Dania Pillay. Dr. Dania, thank you for joining us. Now, are younger people, especially those under 12, susceptible to suicidal behaviours? And if so, what are the motivations?
There's limited data for those in this age range. You know, normally findings show that the numbers are smaller compared to adolescents. But there are multiple factors to consider as well when we talk about children of this age, you know, family history, depression, other psychiatric difficulties, behavior problems, bullying, right? And among younger children, suicide attempts are often an impulsive act to escape. And children may not even understand the permanence of their action, you know, so they may be associated with feelings of sadness, confusion, anger. And then, you know, even now, like we've got kids in my clinic, in my practice, I see children as young as 10, you know, even mentioning things about the world not being a good enough place for them, or rather the other way around, them not being good enough for this world. You know, so there is no understanding or the awareness, and I just feel these are things that really need to be addressed so these children can grow up to be, you know, adults who are able to cope with the stresses that they're faced with every day, you know?
So what are some of the warning signs parents and carers should be paying attention to help prevent this in the first place?
Well, for starters, I think it's really, really important that parents keep a supportive and non-judgmental line of communication open with their kids, right? And this is something a lot of people think about, but the research has shown that asking somebody whether they have contemplated suicide does not increase the chance that they will act on those thoughts, you know, and this is the same for children as well. In fact, the risks are far greater if you avoid the topic entirely. You know, speaking to them about it shows them that somebody cares, and that it gives your child a chance to talk about their problems, right? And when we talk about warning signs, a lot of signs are also symptoms of depression, you know, expressing that they feel like a burden, losing interest in usual activities, withdrawing from friends and family, mood swings, you know, feeling hopeless, change of appetite, sleeping habits, right? These kind of things might be apparent with teenagers, and even dropping comments like nothing in this world matters, or everyone will be better off without me. Right. So these are some of the things that you might see with teenagers, and with younger kids, it might not be as apparent. You know, they might show less interest in playing with their friends, or grades dropping, or just some new behavioral issue. And even with the younger ones, you know, they might drop comments like it was a mistake to have me. You know, so when you hear comments like this for a parent, I can imagine how difficult it is when you know that your child is going through something like this. But it's really important to not respond in shock or anger and say things like, you don't mean that, that's just ridiculous, you know. So being non-judgmental and open is really important.
But let's be honest, being non-judgmental and open aren't exactly traits Asian parents have. So then how should parents navigate their way around a topic that's still considered taboo in society?
Well, I mean, for starters, you might, a parent might notice, you know, little warning signs, like more behavioral things, you know, like when they pay attention to changes in their behavior or signs of withdrawal from regular activities, you know, so it could be just part of their regular talk with them, right? So for them to know that they love them, they support them, and they're there to talk and listen. So even just asking more general questions like, you know, are you worrying about a lot of things, you know, other things that are troubling you? What's been on your mind? How's things going at school? You know, how are your friendships? You know, just general things. It's not straight to go into that, but working up to that, I suppose, you know, but getting the kid comfortable talking to you about these things in the first place, you know, because there's some kids who are not comfortable at all opening up because they feel that they need to portray this, I'm good, everything's fine, you know, because out there in the world, there are bigger problems. I'm all right. I've got a roof over my head. I'm going to school. I've got food on the table. So what am I complaining about, right? So some kids have this need to just pretend that everything's all right. You know, so I feel that that's where the problem lies as well. So even little talks every day make a big difference.
Kids returning to physical school, Doc, when it resumes, will be stressed out from falling behind in their studies. And of course, they're going to be expected to play catch up. So what steps should schools take to ease students back in?
Okay, well, definitely, you know, it's going to be a big transition from, you know, a year and a half almost of online learning off and on, going back to physical school. While it is probably a welcome change, but adjusting back to the routine and everything is going to be hard for many, right? So I think teachers also need to understand that many children may not be able to learn at the same pace they had done before, you know, adjusting back to physical school routine, getting back to everything that was before is not going to be as quick and easy, right? And very importantly, I also feel like when schools are back, it's not just business as usual and okay, you know, we were just on an extended break, now everything's back to normal. No, you know, I feel that it's really important that kids start to feel connected again, you know, because their community, you know, their little community, their school, their friends, their teachers, everything that they had that was part of their identity was kind of taken away from them, right, for this extended period of time. So to have some sort of discussions, to connect, share experiences, I think that's really important. Like there should be some time put aside in order for kids to be able to understand that, hey, everybody else experienced the same thing I did too, and be able to talk about it. I think that's important in a school setting.
Dr. Dania, another aspect that I think we really need to talk about is social media, because social media plays such a big part in glamorizing suicide when users post suicide videos and photos. What needs to be done to stop this and to educate people?
Social media is a huge platform now, and while we want to encourage young people to talk about mental health concerns in order to like reduce the stigma around the topic, like you said, you know, sometimes it's done in a way like it's glorifying the subject matter. So I think it's really important to keep these conversations grounded in reality. And when we talk about social media as well, it's, I mean, you know, a teenager is, their self-image is such a important, their identity, their self-image is something that is so vital to them. And with this whole social media importance right now, I see so many teenagers basing their self-worth based on the likes they get on their posts, right? And what we also have to remember is that increased use of social media has also been linked to low self-esteem, you know, poor body image, and then all these social comparisons, cyberbullying. So all of these things can be linked to depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation as well. So we all have a role to play. And I mean, parents, right? Monitoring the kind of usage they have, that's important. And also when we talk about social media platforms, they're also getting involved in educating people. So like, for example, Instagram has made efforts to block glamorizing content, you know, like banning certain problematic hashtags.
And I'm curious, do counselling hotlines work, especially with the youth? Are there methods like this worth exploring to help them?
In my opinion, I feel these counselling hotlines are very useful and they are easily accessible. And it's a really good way to get emotional support one might need. You know, they're normally contactable even outside the operating hours of other services, and it's cost effective. Right. I mean, what we need to remember is that helplines are not designed to provide long-term solutions or therapy. Right. They're meant to get people through a crisis. right? So to provide a supportive, non-judgmental listener at that point in time, you know, who might be able to offer some suggestions, listen, and, you know, how to move forward, right? So I understand that in Malaysia, especially now during the pandemic, many helplines have reported a surge in calls. And again, this is not surprising. People are experiencing stress, anxiety, financial difficulties, job loss, and even with the kids, right? There are lots of changes and emotional distress. And here in Malaysia, there are helplines that are dedicated for children, which is great. You know, it's fantastic.
Thank you. That was consultant psychologist Dr. Dania Pillay. I don't know. Very distressing, very disconcerting. I think what we're seeing now, all these mental health problems have been exacerbated by the fact that these lockdowns are 15 months old, right? 15 months long already. And what was already a phenomenon, which was worsened by social media and all the insecurities and anxieties that came along with not being liked or subscribed or befriended on, you know, FaceTube or YouBook or whatever it is, you know, these social media platforms. I'm just being facetious, lah. But it's terrible, and it's just exacerbated the whole thing.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. So, I mean, let's face it, there's no way I think any of us could have prepared for the last 16 months.
Yeah.
Parents themselves, I think they try to juggle the work from home, the pressures of COVID-19.
And pressure, the parents themselves are feeling, you know, there's anxiety as well to a great degree.
And I think that's why children can get overlooked in this time as well, because the adults are also facing enormous stress and pressure. It's easy for children to maybe not be given the attention that that might be needed at the moment. And it's so tragic. I mean, suicide is a devastating choice at any age, but it's so tragic when children are thinking these ideas. And I think we really need to pass the message on that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. This can pass. Please seek help.
Okay.
Yeah, there are a few numbers you can call. One, of course, is the Befrienders. There's also Talian Budi Bear and Talian Kase. So you can reach out to these helplines. They're available. Their numbers are available on the website, but we'll post it later on our podcast.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.